Father, thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for this time together now. Lord, we focus today on another apostle. Lord, I pray, God, that as we look at these men, Lord, that you called, you commissioned, you trained, and God, you give them abilities, Lord, to do different things. Lord, as none of us have that ability, but Lord, you give them ability to do things. And Father, we ask you now, Lord, as we look at this one today, may we have learned from each one, Lord, things that characteristics that we might apply to our life. And Lord, that you might make us better what we ought to be for you. I thank you to God for this each one that's here. Thank you for our visitors. We do pray for those that are not here. Some are sick, some are home, some are traveling. Lord, you know their needs, and I pray you bless them today. And bless now your word to your people. And we've come together today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 10, we find the listings of the apostles there. And we find that Matthew and Mark, of course, they list them, and Luke and Acts does too. But we find in Matthew chapter number 10, we find today the one we're going to look at as we are going from one to one, so to speak. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. Let's go to verse 10. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now in the names of the 12 apostles are these, the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebanus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Now, Matthew gives him Thaddeus as his name. If you look at Luke and Acts, you'll find his name is not called Thaddeus, it's Judas. Judas, he refers to it over in Mark chapter 6 and also Luke chapter 9. We don't have time to read that there. But there's different names given to this apostle called Judas. Now, we know that Mark called him Thaddeus, and Luke and Acts called him Judas. That was his real name. Judas, the name Judas means praise, praise. Now, we know there's more than one Judas in the Bible, okay? But today we're going to look at Judas, the brother of James. There are two apostles named Judas, Judas Iscariot, and also just Judas here. And today we're going to look at Judas, the brother of James. Judas is not confused. Don't confuse Judas with Judas Iscariot. He's a different person. Okay, he's not the same person. We find here Judas is only mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, as far as Luke, as Judas. But we find here that he's listed in the apostles as they are listed, but that's the only time. He's listed also in the book of John, which we're going to go there. Turn to John 14. He's listed in John chapter 14 as Judas. John chapter 14. We read the scriptures here. Now, when we look at Judas today, there's distinguishing characteristics about all disciples. Well, the distinguishing characteristic about Judas is steadfastness. Steadfastness. Steadfastness means to remain constant, to endure, to firmly establish, or simply not to quit. Not to quit. Now, Judas had that character about him. Most of you have that character about you. You're not going to quit, are you? No matter what happens in life, we're not going to quit because there's a work to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here that he's an outstanding apostle, and this is an outstanding characteristic about him. He would not quit. He would not quit. Now, we look at Judas, and we look over in the book of John, chapter number 14. We find that he remained steadfast. He intended to continue. Even after the Lord himself ascended back to heaven, he was going to continue what God had called him to do and give him ability to do. And we see in John 14 and verse 16, this is Jesus speaking. We know last week we talked about Thomas up in the early part of this chapter. But now we're down in chapter verse 16 as we talk about Jesus speaking here. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Thank God for the Holy Spirit, don't you? He says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Now notice the next verse, 22. Judas was again speaking about the brother James here, saith unto him, not Iscariot. So he's identifying who this Judas is. It's not Judas Iscariot, okay? It's Judas, the brother of James. He said unto him, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" That's a good question, isn't it? How are you going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How is the world going to not know us, know you, but we can know you? We can know you. And notice he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verse number 23. This is the key, folks. This is the key. How we can know the Lord, but the world does not know the Lord. This is the whole key. He says, if a man what? Jesus, love me. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's the extinguishing difference between a lost person and a saved person. They believe the Lord, they trust the Lord, they've called upon him, and they're keeping his word. They want to keep his word. I want to know his word, first of all. And when I know his word, then I want to keep his word. I want to obey his word and what his word tells me to do and teaches me to do. So here's a question here. And this question indicates to us that Judas intends to be steadfast even after the Lord is gone. He wants to know how he's going to distinguish the people that know the Lord and those that don't. And he tells them here how he'll do this. So we see here Judas and Jesus in conversation here. First of all, the question in verse 22. Again, the question is, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How will we know you, but the world will not know you? I know the Lord because God's Spirit lives within me. He lives within me because I've asked God to forgive my sins and come into my heart. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit come into my life, therefore, if I know him, he knows me. But the person that's lost, they don't know the Lord at all because they haven't trusted Christ as their Savior. So this is the difference between us. We see here, he said, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world?" Well, God is revealing himself to the world through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, through the witnessing of you, our God's people. This is how the world knows about Christ. We have to tell them about Christ. They don't know him, so we have to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, this is what, notice the answer that Jesus gave him. First of all, in verse 23, in verse 24 says, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." First of all, we see that he says that he only will reveal himself to those who love him and obey him. Obey him. I like that old song we sing sometimes, "Trust and Obey." Well, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's the only way you can know him, folks. First of all, you have to trust him as your Savior, and then you obey him because you love him, because of what he's done for you. Aren't you glad that we have a person, we have a Savior that is certainly worthy of our obedience? every day of our life and our love to Him every day of our life because of what He's done for us. My, I thank God for Jesus and what He's done for me. We see here, Jesus and Judas here speaking to one another. We also see in verse 25 and verse 26, these things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. This is some promises now that Jesus is making to him in verse number 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm so glad that Jesus, when he ascended back to heaven, he promised not to leave his children comfortless. He's not here physically to teach us, but his Holy Spirit lives within us to teach us and to instruct us all that we need to know from the Word of God. And it's just up to us to get into the Word of God and search the Scriptures and study the Scriptures that we might learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he promised the Holy Spirit would explain to us all these things that we need to know. And then we find in verses 27 through 31, he reminds them again of his departure and his return. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. A promise. He's going to depart, but yet he's coming again. So we see here, as we look at Judas now, and Jesus here talking to one another, he's telling him and promised him that, you know, I'm going to go, I'm going to come back there. I'm going to come back. And we see here, even though Judas heard these words from Jesus, he just wanted confirmation on what was going to take place. And therefore, he set his face towards heaven, towards the working for the Lord. And Judas promised, wanted to know he was going to be loyal to the Lord even after he was gone. I've been loyal to you for these 3.5 years, but I'm going to continue. I know you're going to depart. You're going to leave us, but I'm going to continue to be faithful to you. He's going to be steadfast. You know, I think in my life, and you do too probably, are the many people that I know were Christians, have been Christians, and I know a lot of Christians today that are not in church. And it concerns me. It really does. I know it does you. Sometimes you try to call them, you try to contact them somehow, and try to encourage them to be back in the Lord's house. I know sometimes people get hurt. We've all been hurt. All of us have been hurt. Amen? We've all been hurt. All of us by some way, some situation. But that's not a reason. That's not a reason to not be steadfast. That's not a reason to continue on for the Lord. You know, because sometimes people say what they feel, and we all do that. And sometimes what we feel and say sometimes is offensive to people. And we have to recognize that. But we see here Judas, he determined to be steadfast. And it's my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer, to be steadfast. No matter if it's singing in the choir, if it's being an usher, if it's being a teacher, being a bus worker, no matter what it is, may God help us to be steadfast, not to quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Amen? We don't quit. We may have to change what we have done to do something else because maybe we can't do it now because of physical reasons or whatever, but we're not going to quit. I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, as Paul tells us, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I say this to Pastor Mendes, he's in here now. I asked him many years ago, not many, but a few years ago, we were on the radio one time during Share-a-thon. ask him, Pastor Ennis, how are you going to know when it's your time to step down from pastoring a church? I wanted to know. And he said, Brother Keith, I really don't know, but I'm thinking right now it's going to be my physical condition. When I get to the point that I can't do it physically, okay, then I'll know it's God's time for me to step down. You know, that's being steadfast, folks. That's determining with God's help. I'm going to be here as long as God wants me to be here. You know, I'm going to do as long as God enables me to do what He wants me to do. That's being steadfast, not quitting, you know. It may be in your mind today, Christians, to stop. Get out of the choir, not usher. Not be faithful to God in God's house. Don't quit. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Listen, the world is looking at us. The world wants us to quit. The world wants us to stop and not be faithful to God and God's house. But we have to look to the one who saved us and say, God, by your help and by your grace, I want to be steadfast. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue doing what you have laid on my heart to do. Judas had that within him, and we needed his lesson to be ours. You see, what he was talking about to the Lord about here. Our Lord encouraged Judas to be steadfast. In verse number 23, he said, Jesus said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's obedience, folks. That's obeying the Lord. If I love the Lord, I'm going to be obedient to Him, okay? Not that if I love somebody else, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, but if I love the Lord, I'm going to be obedient to Him. I'm going to be obedient to Him, see? We need to focus on what we're doing as unto the Lord, not unto somebody else, as unto the Lord, because He has called us, He has placed it in our hearts to do what we're doing, and therefore we do what we do unto the Lord. I do it unto the Lord, you see. So we see here that we need to keep on loving people. We need to keep on loving His Word and having a purpose and not quitting, folks. Not quitting. Find a purpose in your life as a Christian and stick with it. Stick with it. Don't back down. Don't step down. Just keep on keeping on till Jesus comes, folks. It's going to be worth it all one day. It's going to be all worth it all one day. Paul tells us, be not weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if you what? Faint not. Faint not. I don't want to faint. I don't want to faint. Sometimes this flesh does. Sometimes I must admit, this flesh wants to just stop. But I have to rise from this flesh and say, you know, because there's something moving within me, moves within me to say, don't stop, don't stop. And the flesh says, stop, stop, stop. Okay? But I had to keep on going. Keep on going. I want to keep on going. I can stop, but I want to keep on going. And I can only keep on going by the grace of God. And so can you. It's God within us that's going to enable us to keep on going and doing what we do. We have to get our eyes off of people, folks. We have to focus on Jesus, the one who died for us and saved us, and give us the opportunity to do what He has allowed us to do. Now, we see here, first of all, that Jesus would have all His followers to be steadfast. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. You know the verse. I want you to look at it, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These are the words of Paul, talking about being steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren. Who's he speaking to? Christians. He's speaking to Christians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. Steadfast. Notice, unmovable. Unmovable. Someone may tell you, you need to step down and let somebody else do that. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. When God says step down, you step down. Okay? But until God says it, you stay, be steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable. He notice he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, there's no greater work that you can do in your life than for the Lord. Nothing greater. Nothing greater. Abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in who? in the Lord. Not in yourself, but in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul is admonishing here the Corinthians to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's always something to do. There's always another bus route. There's always another class. There's always needed somebody in the choir. Needed another usher. There's always something to do in God's house. And we have a good crowd here to do a lot of things, but we still need more, folks. There's never a place where we don't need any more people to work in God's work. We always need somebody. God needs somebody to do something, you see. So we need to realize the importance here to be steadfast. You know, when we look at Christians, there's different qualities in all of us. One, we see also some people are talented, and God needs that. Spirituality, we all need that. God needs that. But I think the most important thing that God needs is the Christian is somebody that is going to be steadfast, not going to quit, not going to quit. You know, if I start running a race, and I get about halfway through that race, and I say, I'm just going to stop, what have I accomplished? Nothing. If I start running a race, I want to finish that race, don't you? I want to complete that course, as Paul says. I want to complete what God wants me to do in my life. So I want to be steadfast. That's the only way I can complete what God wants me to do. I have to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's nothing more important, folks, nothing more important. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, and I quote, the best ability is what? Dependability. Dependability. Can God depend upon you? Can God depend upon me? Every day of my life, every day of your life, can He depend upon us in doing what He wants us to do? That's the only ability that God wants from us, is dependability. Dr. Lee Robertson said this, you may not be much, but you can be faithful. You may not be much, but you can be faithful. Thank God for faithful people that come to church. You always know. You know, they go, you know, where they sit out here, pastor looks out. He knows where most of us sit. He knows he can count on you being here. And that's an encouragement to him. It's encouragement to one another. When we see everybody in church, our families especially, being here, that are living around this area. So it's very important to be steadfast. Now I realize sometimes there are health issues, there's other kinds of problems that people have. They can't be here. But those of us that can, we ought to be here. We ought to be faithful to God's house. Our Lord would help us to be steadfast in all things. First of all, He wants us to be steadfast in our labors. That is what we do. What He enables us to do for the Lord. We just read the verse a while ago in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Being steadfast in our labors. Our first priority in our life as Christians should be souls. Souls of men. That's why we're here, folks. If I don't care about souls, I'm not going to be much good for anybody, especially for God. My first heartbeat should be trying to win people to Jesus, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be first and foremost in my Christian life. Now, I realize I can't do that unless I pray, unless I read the Bible and study and all that. Now, I ask the Holy Spirit to go with me and help me. He's going to go with me because He's in me. But to empower me to go and do what I want to do. Our Lord would help us to be steadfast in our labors. Our labors. Don't stop. Don't quit. I thank God for those that come to school on Monday night. Last semester, they were very faithful. They were very faithful. They didn't quit. You wanted to. Probably didn't. You wanted to, didn't you, sometimes? You thought about it. I'm sure you did. But you stood in there. You were steadfast. You finished that course. You're fixing to start another one soon in a few weeks. See, being steadfast is so important in our lives as Christians. Not only in our Christian life, but just our life as a career or where we're at. It's important to be steadfast. We have to get up and go sometimes when we don't want to, don't we? The old alarm clock, we don't like to hear go off. But it does. You know, and we have to be steadfast even in that. But our labors for Him, we need to be steadfast. Also, we need to be steadfast in our resistance to Satan. Are you ever tested and tried by Satan? We all are. But we need to be steadfast to resist him. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter and chapter number 5. We need to be steadfast in resisting Satan. We need to fight back. Now, I don't believe in, I'm not a fighter, okay? I don't fight. Sometimes I'd love to fight the devil. I really would. If he was where I could hit him, I'd love to hit him. But it's not possible for that. But notice it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. He walks about, seeking whom he may what? Listen, Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants you to stop. He don't want you to be in Sunday school. He don't want you to be in church. He don't want you to be here Sunday night or Wednesday night. He don't want you to visit. He don't want you to do nothing for the Lord. And we had to fight him. We had to resist him. We had to resist him. Notice he says in verse number 9, whom what? Resist. How? Steadfast. He says, who resists steadfast in the what? Faith. Not in yourselves, but in the faith. Person of Jesus Christ. Resist him steadfastly, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Brother Anderson, you have the same problem with Satan I do. All of us do. He's after all of us, isn't he? But we have to resist him. Steadfast. Always realize, hey, this is not of God. This is of Satan. Satan, get behind me and leave me alone. Resist him. Put him in his place. Sing a song. Jesus loves me. This I know. Do something to get him out of your mind, to get him out of your thinking. Resist him. And you know what's going to happen when you resist him? The Bible says he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. He'll get away from you. You start talking about Jesus and how you love him and you're singing his songs and all that, he's going to get away from you. He can't stand the scriptures. He can't stand the blood. Therefore, we're to be steadfast in resisting Satan. Resisting Satan. So we're to be steadfast in our labors. We're to be steadfast in resisting Satan. We're also to be steadfast in the Word of God. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Steadfast in the Word of God. Listen, folks. The Word of God is the only, I don't want to call it ammunition, but it's the only thing we have that's going to enable us to resist Satan and do what God wants us to do, to be steadfast. The Word of God. The Word of God is our food. You can't go many days without food. You go longer without food, you can't water. But if you don't eat, you're going to get weak, aren't you, physically? Well, if you don't eat the Word of God, so to speak, if you don't read it, you're going to get weak. And you're going to fall. You're going to want to stop and quit. Therefore, we need to be steadfast in the Word of God. Acts 2:42. Look what the Bible says. Talking about the church here, young church here just starting. The Bible says, and they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine. They were steadfast in the Word of God. They heard the Word of God talk to them. And they were steadfast in that daily, in the Word of God. So it's a daily nourishment that we need from the Word of God, folks, to be steadfast in the work that God's called us to do. Judas was steadfast. He wanted to be steadfast. Notice also, not only are we to be steadfast in the Word of God, but also in fellowship. Look at the rest of that verse. He says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in what? Fellowship. Fellowship. Someone said fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. That's when there's unity. Okay? There's unity, you see. That's when we come to God's house. That's fellowship. Talking to one another about the Lord, about what God's done for you, how God's protected you. His brother Alford talked about this past week, helping him. You know, God is good to all of us, folks. He's never bad. He's always good. But we need to be steadfast in fellowship. We need to be steadfast in the Word of God. And also look at the last part of that verse. and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You need to be steadfast in praying. Praying. Listen. I need your prayers. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need to pray for one another. These people in this church right now are going through some hard times, some hard things. I'm not talking about just financial or even talking about financial, but I'm talking about emotionally. Things going on in our families, things going on with issues at work or whatever. You know, we all have hard times and we're all going through some things that we don't know how to handle. Therefore, we need to pray. I had a brother call me this past week and said, Brother Keith, would you pray for me? Such and such a thing is taking place in my life. Pray for me. Pray for me. You know, we need to pray for one another. I know there's people that's praying for me and my wife. I have two people I know that they say every day they lift up us to the Lord in their prayers. Listen, I thank God for that. I thank God for people that pray. And we need to pray for one another. Sometimes we need to just vision our minds as we look over at our church people, all these people sitting in here for church, and just say, God bless them, bless these people. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how God sometimes will put somebody on my heart for whatever reason, and he'll say, pray for that person. And then you find out later on, maybe along that same time, along that same day, something was going on in that person's life that they really need prayer. It's very important to pray for people. Be steadfast in praying. Praying. Fellowship. The Word of God. Resisting Satan. We need to be steadfast, folks. Stand fast in the Lord, you see. We see, most of us cannot identify with maybe Peter, James, or John, but we can with Judas. Judas wants to be steadfast. I want to be steadfast. I know you do. May the Lord help us. Help us to be steadfast. Steadfastness, we're to exhort one another to be steadfast. Encourage one another to be steadfast in the Lord. We have many examples in the Word of God. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were steadfast. When the king says, whenever this music plays, you've got to bow down to me, what do they say? We're not going to do it. We're going to continue to pray to our God. We're not going to give in to you, O king. And they didn't. But what happened? They were thrown in the fire, won't they? But what happened? They came out, didn't they? You know why? Because they were steadfast. They were steadfast. You know, look at the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on his way going to the cross in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. I'm thankful he didn't say, okay, Father, I'm stopping. I'm not going to go any further. He didn't do that, did he? He kept going. He set his face toward the cross where he had to go to and die for you and I. And he went and died there for you and I. He was steadfast. He was steadfast in what he did. Peter and John, in Acts chapter 4, when they were preaching the Word of God, the town got all stirred up. And the rulers and all said, don't mention this name no more. But Paul and Peter said, you know, that's all we know. That's all we're going to say. So to speak. And they kept on doing it. And they were steadfast. They were steadfast in what they were doing for the Lord, you see. It's very important to be steadfast. Where you work at in school, wherever you are, continue to be the Christian that God wants you to be that light. The world needs the light. We're the salt of the earth. And may God help us to be what we ought to be. In suffering to the end, in persevering to the end, be steadfast. Be steadfast. And moving forward to God, be steadfast. I'm thankful today for Judas, his life, his steadfastness. May I determine and you determine by God's grace and God's help, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. And when God says quit, I'll quit. But until he says quit, I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit. I want to keep on, don't you? Listen, it's worth every mile. It's worth every thing that we do here in this world to live for the Lord, folks. It really is. It really is. And the only way we're going to do that, the only way we're going to accomplish that, as Paul says in Colossians, we don't have time to get there, and sometimes read it, Colossians 2, verses 5 through 7. The only way we're going to be steadfast, first of all, we're going to have to be rooted and built up in Christ. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. We're going to have to be rooted in Him, built up in Him. He's the one. We must walk established in faith by what we're being taught. Our faith must increase. Our faith must increase. And the believers should be walked overflowing with thanksgiving. There's something about being thankful that encourages us. Being thankful. You know, I might be going something very hard, but I can always say, but I'm going to be thankful. You do that this week. When you're testing, tried, you're going through something, you don't know how to handle, you just stop and say, but. And you put something positive with it. By God's help, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to pray. But I'm going to pray. But somehow God is going to deliver me from the situation that I'm in. I'm so glad God's on our side. He's on your side, folks. May the Lord help us this week to be steadfast in what we do for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Judas. Thank you for his character, his life. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness, his determination, Lord, to be steadfast. Lord, I just pray you help us, Lord, to set our face towards heaven, towards the one who died for us, and say, by grace, his grace, I want to be steadfast. I don't want to quit. I want to keep on keeping on because of what Jesus has done for me. He's worthy. He's worthy of all my life. And Lord, I want to give it to him. Father, bless your people this week. Lord, give them a good week. Bless down the service we're about to go into. Bless your word as it taught and preached to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.